continue in our Jesus is In series this morning. We've been progressing through some of the Old Testament prophets, and we find ourselves in Ezekiel today. And in the song that sort of inspired this series, he's the call from sin. And as we think of Jesus, we see him presented as the glorious Lord in Ezekiel. In my New King James Version Study Bible, I think I've shared with you before, they have in each introduction of each of the books in the Bible, there's a little section, Christ in this book. And they share that in chapter 17, we see him as a tender twig that is planted by God the Father and becomes a stately cedar. In chapter 21, God says, I'm going to send a king who has every right to be sitting on the throne, unlike some of the human kings that have sat on Israel's throne. In chapter 34, he speaks of the true shepherd that God himself would send, that would sit on the throne of David forever. Ezekiel is full of visions. Some of them are just about as wild to the imagination as if you read some of John's vision in the Revelation, in the last book of the Bible. People have been looking at them and reading them and studying them and trying to get a picture of what Ezekiel's trying to describe or John is trying to describe in Revelation. And they're doing the best they can in the words that they had available to them. And so Ezekiel, full of those kinds of visions. There's one of those visions that's a four-sided head of man. You know, whoa, how do you get a picture of that? And so we find that throughout Scripture. And these folks who have this vision, you know, try to do their best to share in words, and then are translated for us as best as they can through these centuries to get try to get an understanding of what God is trying to share through that vision. One of those visions that Ezekiel had, I think, is a little more clear than all the rest, but it has so much impact on our lives and can have so much impact on our lives. And so as I was going through Ezekiel and looking at some of those other chapters and reading those, and just kept coming back here to chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. So would you stand as we honor the reading of God's word? The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it, declares the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. In some ways, for me at least, that scripture alone, just reading it, speaks volumes to me. And perhaps even to you. But some things I'd like for us just to take a look at this morning. One is that this text was specifically, this vision specifically, for Israel. And it's very clear there in verse 11 that they're having issues as a people. They're saying their bones are dried up. They're saying that our hope is gone. And we've been going through Jeremiah and Lamentations, we saw that even Isaiah was leading up to the exile that happened. But you know, as we talked about Lamentations last week, we saw the writers share how desolate Jerusalem looked as the Babylonian armies had destroyed it and laid it to waste. And the temple of Solomon was laid to waste. And the people who remained, they just had no food, and they were just in a bad way to go. And many were carried off to Babylon to be slaves and workers and in exile from the land of God. That's where the people of Israel were. And in Ezekiel, in this one vision that he's sharing, he says, tell my people, there is hope. There is life. And it comes from me. He's telling the people of Israel, yeah, your situation is bleak. And God could have said, I told you so. He could have said, Isaiah told you. Jeremiah told you. Other prophets came and told you, and you wouldn't listen. And now you're down and out, and you think your bones are dried up. You think hope is gone, but the Lord God says it's not. And through Ezekiel, it says, I can bring life. I like the way Ezekiel answers that question. Wouldn't you do that? Maybe if. What do you think, Ezekiel? See all these bones, as far as you can see, they're dried up bones. If there could be a worse thing than death, that's what these bones were. They've been dead a long time. No flesh left on them. Just a pile of bones through that whole valley. And God says, what do you think, Ezekiel? Think they can come back to life? I like Ezekiel's answer. Only you know, God. I think if we were honest, I don't see how that could happen. I never learned about that in science class. Never saw it happen before. These bones have been here a long time, it looks like. I know I'd come up with all sorts of things, but I like Ezekiel's answer. Only you know God. And certainly he is the only one that knows. And so he had Ezekiel prophesy, which is a big church word for preach, which is another church word, which is proclaiming the word of God. That's what God asked him to do. Just tell him what I said. Proclaim my word. Ezekiel, watch what happens. And it is amazing as we read through that vision that what happens as Ezekiel proclaims the word of the Lord. They can make a good movie. I don't know if anybody has or not, but the rattling of the bones and all that coming together. You know, most folks, when they think about resurrection, when you think of the resurrection of Lazarus, he's only been gone 4 days. His body was stinking, as Scripture says. But Jesus raised him to life. Jesus was crucified on Friday and was resurrected on Sunday. But here are these bones. It's been a very, very long time since there was skin on those bones. And yet God said, proclaim my word and see what happens. That was the promise he had for the people of Israel. But as we move forward through Scripture, we can see that vision, as much of prophecy that we see in the prophets in the Old Testament, they had a very immediate need they were meeting in many of those things. And that's true of these Valley of Dry Bones. But there's things we can think of that God was thinking about later that we need to be aware of. And we come to the time of the Gospels. God had been seemingly quiet for 300 or 400 years. The people of Israel had not heard from a prophet. They had no great teacher. They had those Pharisees and scribes. Those Pharisees said, you got to learn every one of those 630 some laws, and you better follow every one of them, or you're going straight to you know where. I'm exaggerating. Not really exaggerating too much. But that's how they felt. And they're only 1%, so the other 99% were sort of out of luck. They had not heard from God in such a long time. The hope for the Messiah that is there throughout all of the Old Testament, and some of it's very clear that what the Messiah was going to be like. They were hoping for the Messiah. But what we read in the Gospels is there is a rescue from death. Just like those dry bones in the valley that Ezekiel saw, there is a rescue awaiting those who are in the valley of the death of sin. The Bible is very clear that sin brings death upon us. Not just for our bodies, but for our souls. And the gospel message rescues us from the death of sin. You know, when the disciples and the crowds saw Jesus and saw his miracles and heard his teaching, it livened them up. They got excited about what life was. Is he the one? They weren't always clear about everything, and we talked about that in Bible study Wednesday night. It wasn't always clear to the disciples what was happening. They'd ask questions, but they were lively. Something was happening in their midst. And the gospel message came into the story of mankind as we find that there is indeed life beyond the death of sin. There is a rescuing that can happen, and it comes from God. It comes from the proclamation of God's word. Just like those dead bones came to life in before Ezekiel in his vision because of what God said. The gospel message is there because of what God proclaimed, as he proclaimed it through his own son, Jesus Christ. And there's a message for the church today. Many Bible scholars will equate Israel of the Old Testament with the church of the New Testament. God's people, Israel. God's people, the church. And so in many ways, as he dealt with Israel, he deals with us as the church today. You know, this past 15, 18 months, this COVID pandemic has hit hard in many ways for individuals, for finances, for sickness and death, for families, for churches, for communities. And perhaps we have found ourselves crying out like Israel. Hopefully not today, but somewhere in the last 18 months, there might have been a time when you cried out, or we as a church were crying out, our bones are dry, and hope seems to be gone. And God, through Ezekiel, is saying even to us today as the church, there is hope. You're looking at at things from the wrong perspective. What I did in Ezekiel's vision I can do today, God says, I can bring life. I do bring life. I am life. As we return to normal, been hearing that a lot lately, like to get back to normal. And I hope normal means that we can see one another's faces, which is more normal, right? Some people's eyes speak volumes. Other people's eyes, it's like, I have no idea. I need their nose and their mouth, and I can figure a little more out from the facial expressions. Now, my wife's eyes do speak certain things to me very quickly. But normal, I hope, in that sense, we get back to normal. But normal in the way we used to be, especially in our relationship to God, I hope we don't ever go backwards. Even pre-pandemic, we should never have been going backwards. We should always been in the presence of God and looking forward with him. By the prophecy of God, the proclaiming of God's word, the turning to him, to stay focused on him, we can bring not only hope and life into our lives, but we as the church can bring hope and life into the life of the world. And it starts with each of us as Christians. It starts with us as Sparta Baptists and our neighboring churches down the road and our church, sister churches around the world. The life that we see in Ezekiel's vision comes from the same God, and he can give that same life and hope today. And it's through the proclaiming of his word. It's through the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ that those old bones will rattle and come together and skin put on and life breathed in. The God in Ezekiel's vision is the God who brings hope and life today. Okay, preacher, how do you see Jesus in that? Because we've been seeing Jesus in each of these books. Sometimes a story is so familiar to us, we forget what really was going on that day and in those last days of Jesus' life. The disciples watched this man they'd been following for 3+ years. They watched him die on a cross. They watched the Roman soldiers nail him there. They saw how bloody it was from the scourging that he had gotten hours before in the Roman court. They saw the blood. They saw the guts of this Jesus they had followed. And they saw him die. He was dead. And then, I don't know what was going through their mind other than, we better hide ourselves because we'll be next. And Scripture says that's what they did. And in all the Gospels that share, we just move sort of like from Friday in the middle of the afternoon, we move right on to Sunday morning. But can you imagine those 2 nights those disciples were huddled together in fear of their lives? Because the one they had been learning from and calling Master and were pretty sure was the Son of God, he's dead. We saw it happen. He's gone. And yet, like the valley of dry bones that we read here in Ezekiel, on Sunday morning, something began to happen. Scripture says, just before dawn, the earth was shaking. The stone was rolled away. The guards that were there, the Roman guards that were there, fell down as though they were asleep. And those who came to the tomb that morning found angels who said, he's not here. Why? Because he has risen. He is not here. Because he's alive. And the God who, in Ezekiel's vision, put life in those bones, is the same God who on Sunday morning said, I don't care what happened Friday. Today, he's alive. By the power of God, the Father, Jesus, God the Son, is alive. And by his Holy Spirit, he walks and talks with us today. He's in this very room today. He's in our very beings today. And sometimes we get so bogged down with circumstances, at least I have at times, we want to say, man, my bones are drying up. Where's the hope? And God says, Son of Man, just preach. Just proclaim my word. Take in my word and watch what happens. God is the God of life. He's the God of hope. And he provides it to you and I and to the church through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus is in Ezekiel.